There's a new novel out just as the U.S. Supreme Court considers a case that could overturn Roe v. Wade, the law that made abortion legal across the country. Jennifer Haig's book is called Mercy Street. It centers on a clinic that provides health care to the women of Boston. The Mercy Street Clinic provides abortions as part of that care, and protesters gather in front of the building every day. The central character of the novel, Claudia, has to encounter those protesters as part of her job as a counselor. It's a world that author Jennifer Haig is familiar with. She lives in Boston, and she volunteered at a similar clinic when she was younger. Haig told us how that experience inspired Mercy Street.
The book grew directly out of that experience. I started volunteering there not because I wanted to write about it. That it really never occurred to me. I just believed in the work they were doing. And after doing this for a period of time, I started to feel that these are stories that really needed to be told.
Is it that you wanted to write about the experience as it happened? Did you detect some nuance that you hadn't expected during your own days at the clinic? What was it?
You know, I realized that abortion is one of those subjects where everybody has an opinion, but most people know virtually nothing about it. Most women who've had an abortion don't speak freely about it. We know that roughly 1 in 4 American women will have an abortion at some point in her life, which means that everybody knows somebody who's had an abortion. Even if you don't know that, she may never tell you about it, but everyone knows someone. So it is an exceedingly common experience, and yet it remains very mysterious to most people because the climate is such that nobody feels free to talk honestly about it.
One of the things that happens at many abortion clinics, including the one in your book, is that people who work there, people who go there for services, have to walk through gatherings of protesters who are outside. And there are often layers of security as well. Why was that a point that you wanted to make about the people who work at the clinic in your book? And that's something that you yourself had to go through when you were working at a clinic.
It really is an extraordinary experience to show up for work every day and have to walk past this gauntlet of angry people just to get to your job. Most of us can't imagine what that would feel like, that it becomes routine, and yet it never really does become normal. And the main character in Mercy Street, Claudia, has been doing this for 9 years, and it still isn't normal for her, and it still affects her emotionally and psychically. And throughout the course of the novel, you see her taking measures to kind of self-medicate, to face this experience every day, to just be able to do her job.
Tell us more about Claudia, who is originally from Maine, again, the primary character in your book.
Yes. Claudia grew up in rural Maine in a trailer with a single mother who made ends meet by taking in foster children. So at every moment of her childhood, Claudia was one of 3 or 4 kids packed into this trailer. And it really informed her views about family life, about motherhood, about parenthood, and about what life is like for children who weren't necessarily wanted or born into very good circumstances.
And she was one of those people. She found out that she had not been wanted. She said that her mother was a teenager who was unmarried.
Yeah. Her mother was 17 when she was born. She quit high school in order to have the child. And the choice that she made has informed her whole life and Claudia's whole life.
Claudia ends up taking care of many of the foster kids because her mom can't or is working. And at the age of 9, Claudia says she realized that she was white trash. What made her think that, and how did that shape her?
She was listening to a comedian on television who was doing this routine about white trash people, and she recognized herself and her mother in the things the comedian was saying. And it gave her this hyper-awareness of class that she carries through the rest of her life and certainly brings to her work at the clinic. For me as a writer, class is an ongoing subject. I think it informs everything I've ever written. I often write about working class people because of where I grew up. In Mercy Street in particular, you see all the ways class intersects with gender. How the choice to go through with a pregnancy or end a pregnancy is radically different depending on a woman's background, her age, her educational level, what kinds of financial resources she has. There's one girl who's a senior at a private school and is in the process of applying to Ivy League colleges and finds herself unexpectedly pregnant and decides to have an abortion. She comes to the clinic for her procedure with her mother, who is fully supportive of the decision she's making and who actually admits to Claudia that she herself had an abortion at around the same age. Claudia also works with minors who are unable or unwilling to get parental consent to have an abortion. And so they actually go through a procedure called a judicial bypass in which they appear in front of a judge and explain why they want to have an abortion. And it is striking to Claudia how many young girls find it much easier to talk to a judge about this than to their own parents.
When you talk about class and class distinctions and how to write about them, there is Claudia, as you mentioned, who grew up in a single wide trailer in Maine in a poor family. And there's somebody named Timmy, a friend of hers, who lives, I think, off Washington Street in Boston. And he is basically a pothead and a pot dealer. Tell us about the two of them and the two of them and how you write about them and their class together.
I think of Timmy in a way as a first responder in Claudia's life. He's the person she buys pot from. She is a daily pot smoker, and that is her way of getting through her life. And Timmy is the means by which this is made possible. So they have an odd kind of friendship. Part of it for Claudia is that she feels a sense of recognition with Timmy. That in her mind, he's what some of these foster kids might have grown up to be, because they're from the same kind of background. And that kind of working class background is quite different from that of her colleagues at the clinic or the volunteers at the clinic who grew up under very different circumstances. So she does have this feeling of recognition with Timmy.
Could you tell us about an experience you had that you drew from specifically for a scene in the book?
Yes. And in fact, I can pinpoint this as the moment when it was clear to me I needed to write about this. I was working on a hotline at the clinic, answering phone calls from women who were calling to schedule an abortion. And there was one caller I remember, and this memory is so vivid to me that it actually turns up almost verbatim in the book. There was a woman who called and said she had to have an abortion because if her ex found out she was pregnant, he would come to her house and shoot her kids. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have no way of knowing whether she was correct. I didn't know her. I was just a stranger, a volunteer on the hotline, but I'm inclined to believe her. And it was striking to me how many of these callers were living in domestic violence situations. So there's a scene in the book where Claudia's having lunch with a male friend, and he says to her, "Well, you know, I have no problem with abortion as long as there's a good reason." And Claudia says to him, "Define good." Because it's true, the range of reasons women cite for choosing abortion are so vast and so varied, no stranger could ever imagine the circumstances some of these women are living in. And that's why I feel very strongly it's important that women be allowed to make the final decision about whether or not to go through with the pregnancy, because no one else can decide that for you. No one else can possibly know the reasons that have led you to this choice.
There seems to be an air of menace hanging over Mercy Street. There are protesters in person who make the character feel endangered. And there is another character, Victor, who seems to be considering violent actions against the clinic. I think it's helpful to remember that this book is set in Boston, and it was in a neighboring town of Brookline in 1994 that an abortion opponent named John Salvey walked into a Planned Parenthood clinic and shot and killed two people and wounded five people. I wonder if that was in the back of your mind as you wrote the book.
Absolutely. And I, in fact, got to know some other volunteers who had in the past volunteered at that clinic. You know, not there on the day this happened, but knew some of the people who were permanent staff there. And it really does, the memory stays with the community here, I think.
What should we know about the title of the book, Mercy Street? Why you called it that?
Mercy Street comes from the name of a poem by the Boston poet Anne Sexton. And in the poem, Anne Sexton is dreaming that she's wandering the streets of Boston, wandering through the Back Bay, asking strangers, "Where is Mercy Street?" And everyone tells her, it's not here, it's not here. And it seemed to me a fitting title for such a quintessentially Boston story. And also, I'm interested in this idea of mercy, which I think of as this ability to have feeling for and empathize with people who are not always easy to love. And that is Claudia's entire job, you know, finding compassion and empathy for women who are in dire straits and who are not always heroics. Some of them are women who've made some serious mistakes in their lives, but they are still people to whom she gives mercy.
The novel is called Mercy Street, written by Jennifer Haig, a Boston resident. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.